You're listening to the Disciple Makers Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Tom Hallman. As a Christian, surely you've wondered how you can know God's will for your life. Do you have to figure it out on your own, or will He tell you? If He does tell you, does it come in a dream, a well-formulated strategy, through prayer, or some combination of the above? The answer might surprise you. Mike Chartowich shares more in his 2017 Fall Conference breakout session called, How Can I Know God's Will for My Life? Making Decisions Shaped by Wisdom.
It is really great to see you all here this afternoon. Thanks for coming to this session, this breakout session, on how can I know God's will for my life. Maybe you had a hard time deciding, should you come to this session or not? I don't know, right? So for all you indecisive people, eight breakout sessions. Every time they keep adding breakout sessions, I have a harder time deciding which ones I got to go to, right? Like, I'm just like, I don't know. They're all good. I can't choose. So I'm glad you chose this one, though. Thanks for coming. My name is Mike Chartowich. I work on the Susquehanna Valley team. I'm the team leader there. So that covers Bucknell and Bloomsburg and some other campuses we're trying to reach out to. I graduated from Bloomsburg with a degree in philosophy and anthropology, so those are my interests. So if you have philosophical questions or like to discuss that kind of thing, I love to do that. That actually excites me, so if you want to discuss anything like that, feel free to ask questions about anything like that. I'd love to talk about it. I have a wife, my wife Lynn, and I have five little kids, so keeps my life very busy, but I love them to death, so... So what we're going to do is I'm going to do kind of a presentation here, and then I'm going to make sure to leave time for a Q&A at the end. So if you have questions, just write them down. Make sure so you don't forget them at the end. If there's anything more like clarification or I misspeak or something, you can still raise a hand in the middle too, and I could try to stop. But if any really big questions, try to save them for the end for our discussion time at the end. Okay. So how many of you have ever had a tough decision to make and you just didn't know what to do and you just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with it? Right? See a lot of hands coming. That's probably why you came here, right? Because it's a difficult, you had some difficult situations. Sometimes, particularly living as a Christian, there are situations or steps that we want to take in our life and we don't know what to do. It's not totally obvious. And that can be stressful, that can be frustrating. We can worry about that. We can struggle with worry. We'll get to a kind of a fork in the road, kind of a sense. Life comes and you get a choice. I like this picture. I like to hike. So, if I get to this, I'd be like, ah, oh, they both look beautiful. Which way do I go? They're so pretty. Right, but that can be stressful sometimes if that's a decision in life. And oftentimes what it can feel like is not just this, but it can feel like this. How many of you feel like that? Right? You're like trying to make a decision, you're like, I don't know what to do with my life right now. Like there's a million ways I can go. And it's just really, it really becomes stressful. Well, what I want to do is look at three different things that'll help us, kind of principles to help us make decisions in life. One is, we're going to go over a quick overview. Seek God's revealed will. We want to seek what He's told us, not seek what He hasn't told us and says He won't tell us. That's not a good idea. Secondly, we want to, as we seek what God has made known, we want to pursue wisdom. That is actually the method that God gives us to make decisions, like in the Bible. And then lastly, we're going to talk about choosing. Even though we have a method, we still got to actually pull the trigger and make choices. But we can do it in faith and freedom. So those are things that we're going to look at here. So let's talk about what it means to seek God's revealed will. Okay. A lot of times, like Christians can struggle, how do I know what God wants me to do? Right? The Bible says a lot of things in it, and it gives us a lot of principles, but it doesn't give us the details for our life. I mean, probably for some of us, we would love to have a roadmap or some kind of presentation like this where it just explains, okay, next week you do this, and after that you do this, and this is the person you're supposed to marry, and this is the job you're supposed to take. It'd be really nice if we had that. But we don't have those details in the Bible, right? It doesn't tell us. And the Bible actually says that there are certain things that God deliberately doesn't tell us, and that's only for him to know. And that's important for us to realize as we want to seek what God has revealed. Reveal just means made known, right? Revealing something. This is a passage. We have to understand the difference between God's secret and revealed will, right? What God makes known and what he doesn't. This is Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law." Right, this passage comes right near the end of the first five books of the Bible, where Moses is speaking to the people, reminding them of everything that God has done, how God has rescued him from Egypt, and he's given them his law, which he mentions, like the things that they're supposed to do that God wants them to do. But it's interesting here, he mentions the idea of like these secret things. It's like that there's some things that God knows that he does not make known to us. But there are things he has made known, and those are the things he's saying, those are the things that we should do. This is for us and for all of our children that come after us, right? That we do all the works of the law, all the things that God has commanded us to do. We're supposed to pursue those. Now, what happens is that what we really struggle with, we can struggle with this distinction, right? The revealed will and God's revealed will and his secret will. Like, these are two things, that two sides of the coin here. And I think that this is where a lot of our problems come in, because God says, okay, here, I've revealed these things I made known to him, but on the other side here, I have some things that I'm not going to tell you, that only I know. And God, that means God has a plan that he has, and he's working out, and it's so incredibly complex. I mean, think of the billions of people that have existed or exist now, that God has a plan. He's working in all of our lives, and he's coordinating all those lives for a purpose and everything that people do. It is incredibly complex. We couldn't even comprehend that plan. It'd be way too impossible for us to understand. But God says that, and that's even true for our individual lives, that there's so many things that go even to how God is working in our life. And so God says, I'm not going to reveal those things to you. But one of our problems is we don't like that. We want to know the secret things, especially when it comes to the future of our lives. We want a window into it. We want to peer over that middle line there. We want to say, I know these things you've told me, God. That's really great, but I really want to get on this side. I want to know what my life's going to be. I want to know who I'm going to marry. I want to know what my career is going to be. Where am I going to live? Who are my friends going to be in the future? And that's really hard. That can be a real struggle. And so what we can do then is we use methods to try to get over on that side, try to get that specific detailed plan for our life that we want. So one way we do that, like these are some common things people say, that you look for open doors, right? You'll say, okay, so say you're going to go graduate and you get job offers. And, you know, you're looking for a job, and you get a job offer, and you're like, wow, this looks really good. This is awesome. Look, God opened this up. They're offering me a job. God just opened a door. This must be the job I should take. God just opened it up. But the only problem is, well, what happens if you get a second job offer? Right? Then you're like, oh, wait, this one looks good, too. Now I don't know what to do. Right? And see, but the idea of, like, the open door is that, that's not foolproof. That is not really a guide to use. God may open up a lot of doors, and you have to choose from one of them, right? And so the question is not just that there's an open door, but like, well, which one should I take? That takes wisdom, which we're going to talk about. And also, God closes doors. God closes doors sometimes too. So that this is like a method people use, but it's not really a very reliable method to know what God wants. But another way maybe we try to get across that line is for signs. Look for signs. You know, like say, okay, you know, you do the play of the game with God. Well, God, if you make X, Y, Z happen, then I know that you want me to make this choice. Right? Or it's like, you know, you're thinking about marriage and you're just thinking about it, you're like, God, show me who I should marry. And then somebody of the opposite gender walks through the door, you're like, oh, is this it? Oh my goodness, is this the person I'm marrying? Right, but see, that gets dangerous too. And I've seen people make really bad decisions by that kind of theology and that kind of belief. This is kind of a related, maybe not exactly the same, but a feeling of peace. So people will say, I prayed about it, I thought about this, and God has given me this feeling of peace that this is the right decision to make. And maybe some of you, these might be things that you've heard, maybe even people have told you, this is how you know God's will, this is how you make decisions. But this is also a dangerous one. Right, one, because we know the Bible says that we're sinners and fallen, right? And that means that sometimes we don't make good decisions. Sometimes our motives are not good. Sometimes we could have a feeling of peace about a decision, but maybe we shouldn't have a feeling of peace about it. Maybe that's sort of like our own kind of thinking getting in the way, like wanting it to be the right decision, right? Because we really want to make that choice. And these are kind of dangerous. I mean, I know, seen situations like this. I mean, one person who wanted to get married, and they thought this person was the person God is telling me I should marry this person. And they wholeheartedly believed it. But then what happened was that person ended up not being interested in them. And then that person ended up getting married to somebody else. So what happened there? Right? Did God lie to that person and deceive them? It's like, well, no, God doesn't do that. Right? He wouldn't do that. Right? And so, but see, what happens, I think, of using a method to try to make decisions and trying to peer over into that future to get like some answer from God before you have to make the decision. And that actually keeps us from having to step out in faith. Right? And we want to find the plan out before the plan is revealed. And there's some things that God says, I'm not gonna tell you. And we have to be careful what kind of method we use. I'm using a lot of examples of this, like marriage. I think that's a really dangerous one, like I said. Be very careful how we make decisions and how we justify decisions. And I think, ladies, you should be very wary if a guy comes up to you and says, I prayed about it and God has just told me that I'm supposed to marry you, that we should go out. Like, honestly, that's just really not the way God works. Right, and you don't really see that in the Bible. We're not really told to do that in the Bible, right? There's other ways that we make decisions. The Bible tells us to make decisions, and so we want to say what is the method that God has told us to use, and one that keeps us from trying to cross that line and find out the plan before God has revealed it to us. And the method that God uses is this idea of pursuing pursuing wisdom, right? That is the method that you see in Bible for making decisions in life and how to know God's will, right? And so that's what I want to look at now is look at this. Like wisdom basically, when we talk about wisdom, a simple definition of wisdom, if you think like the Bible talks about, is the ability to take the principles and truths that God tells us and apply them to everyday life and practical decision making. Right? Wisdom is like the ability to take the truths and principles that God has told us and revealed to us, right? Made known to us, and take those then, right, and then apply them to the practical decisions in our life. That's what you see pointed to in the Bible for us to follow and pursue and know more of. So there's a lot of examples of this, but this is just one passage. In the New Testament, in Colossians 1, 9 through 10. So this is Apostle Paul. He's praying for the church there. This is what he prays that they would grow in. He says, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? See, do you see what he prays for them? Right? He prays, right, that they're filled with knowledge of his will. Right? That's what we're trying to figure out, his will. Right? Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. right? That's the idea. That and when it says wisdom and understanding, like that is, there's a whole books of the Bible, like the book of Proverbs, that talks about this idea of wisdom, which we're going to look at in a second here. But like that is the method, is to use wisdom. And you see that what he's saying, the conclusion is, right? That's right, I have this like little red dot here. Nice. So as, right, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So this is so you can live a life pleasing to God, right? Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God. Doesn't, you know, if you're a Christian, right, don't you want your life to be that? Like, don't you want your life to please God? Right? And I think that's why sometimes a lot of us get anxious, because we want to please God, but we're afraid we're not going to. And we're going to screw it up. Right? And sometimes we do screw it up. And we'll talk about that too. But he's saying this is a way so that you can walk bearing fruit, right? Increasing the knowledge of God. It's through wisdom. And we see, like I said, in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is just so helpful. Here's another passage. This is Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you." Right? He's like talking about wisdom, right? It helps us know how to walk worthy of the Lord, to know the right paths to go on. Right? And so that is what we want to pursue. As we're trying to make decisions, that's the method that the Bible talks about, right? And so the reason why those other methods, another reason why, even though they're suspect, because sometimes you're like, well, how do I know if the method's really working? Another reason why we should pursue this method, because this is the method the Bible points us to, right? So oftentimes we pick methods that we just sort of heard or maybe other people have said, but this is the method that the Bible points to, is wisdom. So let's look at a few of these steps. What are some of these wisdom principles that we see in the Bible? So let's look at some steps making decisions. One of the first things we want to do, give you four steps. First one is ask God, right? Ask God for wisdom. I don't know how often I don't do this. I don't even think about this sometimes when I have a difficult decision to make. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, 5-8. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." All right, so he's saying here, you know, if you don't have wisdom, ask God for it. And again, like almost most of the books in the Bible, oftentimes the situation, they're suffering. The verses right before this talks about that the people that he's writing to are going through trials, difficult situations. That's probably why he talks about, well, if you're lacking wisdom, if you don't know what to do, ask God. Like, ask him for help. I mean, there's sometimes where I'm like working on these presentations or doing something, I don't really know what to do. And I don't even stop to say, God, give me wisdom. Help me know what the right decision is. Help me remember the things that you've told me or taught, I've learned. But is sort of challenging, right? He says, but let him ask in faith. So it's not going to do any good to sort of pray half-heartedly, but not really believe God's going to do anything. Like, that doesn't honor God, right? We're supposed to pray believing, right, that God's wants to answer. He's going to give us an answer. So God, just pray for wisdom. That's the first step. And that kind of gets our heart in the right place. Because oftentimes we make decisions, we can be very selfish, and it's really all about us. But this gets our focus on God first, which is really good. Not all of these are in a direct order, per se, these steps, but this is maybe a good one to start off with to get going. So ask God for wisdom. Also, check Scripture. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path." Now, I said before, the Bible does not give us a detailed plan for our life, but it does give us tons of wisdom and situations and principles to help us make decisions. And sometimes we totally underestimate that. We don't value that. I know for one time I was trying to decide whether or not we should buy a house or not, and the house was a little bit out of our price range, but it wasn't really. We could afford it, but it'd be pretty close to our budget. But as I was looking at the Bible, there's verses that talk about debt. It says, like, the debtor is a slave to the lender. And it says, it's like warning you, be careful you go into debt. And I was realizing, I'm like, boy, this would really push our budget pretty close. And I'm like, I don't know if that was starting to make me doubt the decision, even though I really wanted to buy this house at that time in our life, and I was like really obsessed, kind of almost obsessed with it. Like, I just wanted to make it happen. Like, when I started to look at the Bible, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know if this is a good decision. So it started to give me doubt and I think wisdom on whether or not I should pull the trigger or not. You know, the book of Proverbs is such an amazing book. It gives us a lot of wisdom. It hits all these different situations of life. It talks about money, it talks about relationships, what to look for even in, like, you know, a girl or guy. It talks about how to use your speech, like how to deal with angry people, conflict, all kinds of things. And one thing I've done that's been really helpful is I've just read through the book of Proverbs. I've had a really big decision to make. I would read through it and just pick all the Proverbs that talked about the issue that I'm dealing with, and just go through them. So, like, there's tons on money and finances and stuff. You can just pull them all out, and it can help you, like, make a decision. Sometimes we just undervalue God's word. You know, we don't think about it. We don't really check it. We sort of just make decisions on our own, and that's not good, right? If God is in control of all things, he knows all things, like, we want to go to him, right, to help us make decisions, right? So you want to do is check scripture, in these situations when you have a decision to make. Third one is get more information. It says Proverbs 13:16, in everything the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. I mentioned, like, going to buy a house. Like, I remember we just looked more into, the more I looked into the details. And, of course, like, you know, you're going to buy something, we want to go towards. We went toward the house, and I started looking at the house. I'm just like, oh, man, like, this is going to be a lot of work to fix this thing up. It was beautiful. It's like an old, it's on one of the nicest streets in Bloomsburg, one of the historic streets, and I love, like, historic homes. Fortunately, God did provide one for us, but this one, it was just, like, the whole back porch. I went to the back porch, and it's one of those ones where it's, like, open underneath, and there's, like, an extra room built on the top. But the whole thing was sort of sagging, and it was, like, kind of separating from the house a little bit. I was just like, that whole thing's going to have to be torn off. I'm like, that's going to be so much work and cost money. And I was getting more information. I was just like, I'm starting to be like, oh, God, I don't know if this is a good decision, like, if I should do this, you know. This is going to be take a lot of time that I may not be able to give, take time away from other things in my life. I'd be working on this house all the time. Like, that may not be a wise thing, choice to make. So if you have a choice to make, right, if it's about, if you're interested in somebody, one of the biggest problems that I see students make, not just students, like anybody, is they'll get involved in a relationship with somebody they don't even know. So what they do is they use the relationship to get to know the person, but that's often creates a lot of feelings and emotions, and then if it doesn't work out, there's a lot of hard feelings and people really let down and hurt. But instead, like, one thing I suggest is just try to get to know the person just watching them relate to their friends. See, how do they, like, do they love and care for their friends? Like, do you notice that they have a godly character? Is there going to be somebody you really want to pursue first before, don't use the dating relationship to test the waters, right? Get more information first. Like, learn about that person first before you take that step. And you can apply it to all kinds of other things. If you have a job opportunity, get more information. I remember I talked to one person who I asked them about their job and if they got benefits, and they said, oh yeah, I'm just not really sure what the benefits are. But they were gonna think about taking the job. I'm like, you should probably find that out. That could be the difference of thousands of dollars in health insurance and retirement that you might get or not get, depending on what job you take. You need to get that information to know if this is a wise decision, right? So get more information. if you have a class you're going to take and you're not sure about, remember, you find out about the professor, talk to somebody, right? If they say, this class is horrible, it's a horrible professor, you're like, okay, I'm staying away from that class if you don't have to take it, right? If you have to take it, sorry, you know, do your best. So get information. And another step is seek advice. Seek advice. There's several proverbs that talk about this and wisdom, right? The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 12:15. See, the fool, right, they think they're right. They think they're smart. And you might have to ask yourself a question, like, am I make bad decisions because of my pride? Because I'm too prideful. I think I know everything. And in fact, you think you should be the one that everybody should be talking to. And you're telling everybody else what to do because you think you know everything. And so you don't ask other people for advice. But sometimes you might find yourself making bad decisions and you'd be like, well, maybe if you asked, maybe if you talked to somebody else, you could have gotten help that might have steered you in another direction. Right. Now, a couple things about this, though. Think about this. One is, when you see people for advice, talk to people who are going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you just want to hear. Right? Get advice from people that will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. That is a real danger. If you read in the Bible, like King Solomon, his son Rehoboam, like King Solomon was one of the wisest men to ever live. His son was really foolish. Like, he had older, wiser counselors that were the counselors of his father, the king, and he had his friends that are his same age, and they were debating on, should we like put all these new taxes and basically put the kingdom in much harder labor? And the wise men, the older guys, were like, don't do this. But his friends were like, yeah, don't let them tell you what to do. Like, just do whatever you want. Like, tax them, you know? And then people, when they did that, the people started to revolt underneath, like, these new higher taxes and almost slave labor. But he was a fool. Like, listen to his buddies who really don't have any experience, right? So talk to people that are willing to say, hey, do you think this is a good idea? A lot of people will get advice from people that will just tell them what they want to hear. And that's not really a good counselor. Another thing, too, is talk to people that have experience in the situation that you need help in. So it'd probably be really helpful if you want to get married to talk to people that are already married. Like, just talking to each other is not going to be as helpful. Now, there will be some wisdom you guys can share from what you've learned. But, you know, somebody who's gone through the situation, you want to get their input because they're going to have a lot more experience than you do. So get people that have talked to people that will help you in the situation. You might kind of say, what is your, well, let me see. Somebody tell me what this is here. What's that? What, Lord of the Rings, but what scene is that? The Council of Elrond, right? Like, they have this huge decision. What do we do with this magical ring that can, like, destroy the world? Pretty big decision. They want to talk about it, right? So, like, they get all the wisest people, leaders from each of these kingdoms, right? And they're trying to decide, okay, what should we do? Now, if you're not a Lord of the Rings fan, you know, maybe you can do the Jedi Council, Star Wars, you know? But the thing is, think about, what is, like, do you have, like, a council? Do you have friends? Do you have or older, wiser people you can go to that can help you? Right, and get wisdom that you don't have and ask them, right? And make sure it's godly wisdom, not just, right, that they actually respect God and the Bible and not just their own opinions. That's also important as well, right? So think about this. Think about these steps of wisdom. Now, you might go through this and say, okay, you might have even do some of these steps. You're trying to be faithful. You're trying to pray. You're asking God. You're seeking wisdom. You're looking in the Bible. But at some point, we have to make a decision. You got to pull the trigger. That's the scary part. That's the scary part. That's why I want to talk lastly about choosing in faith and freedom. Like, we've got to make the choice. And that can be hard. And this is where kind of like relationally, your relationship with God can come into it. that what you believe about God and his activity in your life will influence you in how you make the decisions and whether or not you worry a lot or not. Because a lot of us worry a lot about the future. And I don't know if you ever had this. Do you guys ever struggle with like fantasizing about bad things in the future? Like you start imagining all the problems that can happen and what can go wrong. And see, we have to say, well, wait a second. What do I believe about God? Who is he? And he's in control of the future, right? I believe he's in control of everything. That should influence how I view actually choosing, right? So let's talk about this. Choosing in faith and freedom. Choose in faith. Make your choice in faith. And you want to have faith in God's control. Faith in God's control. Want to believe that God is in control of the world. He says, like, I am God. I'm an authority. I control everything that happens. And a lot of us know this verse, or we've heard it quoted before. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And again, I started noting this pattern. This verse comes in context where a little bit earlier, Paul talks about suffering and difficulties in this life. So that's the context of this. Like, things are kind of can go wrong, or there can be problems in your life. And he's like, okay, God, right? For those who love God, that all things work for good. So that means even the bad things in your life, even the mistakes you make, God is using. But some of us, I think we have a wrong view of our life and how God is working. So here's a chart here. I see the straight line on the top. So you have the straight line, right? There's your life, my life. So you have my life there, and then this is inside God's will. Like, I feel like my life's going pretty well. I'm following God. I'm being pretty faithful to him. But then, bad choice. I make a mistake. I really screw up. And you start, you start to realize, you're like, man, I should have never done that. I really messed this thing up. And so, but what we believe is, and I don't know, has any of you ever seen Back to the Future? This look familiar to you? This diagram? Where Doc Brown is talking about the future timelines, you know? Time travel just blows your mind, right? You're like, he's like, you know, we ought to go back, and like, there's something bad happened at this point where that X is. And he's like, well, now everything has changed. We're on a totally different timeline now. So we can't just go back to here. We have to go all the way back and stop that thing from happening before so we can rewrite and get rid of this alternate timeline. But see, that's not the way that our life works. That's not the way God works. Okay? There's not some bad choice, and now somehow you're on some second best plan for your life. And I've actually heard people use this belief to justify even sin. It's funny, like a lot of these examples come up with marriage. There's people that they maybe married somebody and they realize, like, say, the person wasn't a Christian. Or they marry them, and it's just a very bad relationship. Not necessarily abusive, you know, where they would need to get out of the house, but it's just, they're just not happy. And they said, oh, you know what happened? I got outside God's will. I made this bad choice, so I need to get out of this marriage so I can get back into God's will again. And see, that's not how it works. Because the Bible actually says, right, if the person, even if they're not a Christian, they're willing to live with you, you should continue to live with them, even if they're not a Christian. You should not just divorce them because you're unhappy. That's not what the Bible says. And so we have this belief, but we have to realize that God is with us. There's really actually he's with us every step of the way. I like this proverb. It says, Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps, right? The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps, right? So basically he's saying we're making choices, right? God has given us situations, things to do in our life. We're making choices, but he's like, but God is the one establishing your steps. He is at work in your life even as you're making those choices. You have to realize, even the mistakes we make are are not, like, God is not surprised at those. He knows they're coming. And the amazing thing is, he works them for his good and your good, even the screw-ups you do, right? Remember the verse before said, God's working all things for the good, for those who love him. You see that in the book of, Genesis, where Joseph, do you remember the story of Joseph? His brothers kind of betray him. He gets sold into slavery. He's in prison. And then he gets out of prison, but God blesses him. But then he gets accused of, committing adultery with an Egyptian official's wife. He gets thrown into prison. But then through God working in his life, he ends up becoming a ruler in Egypt, and he eventually saves his family from the famine. God gives him wisdom to basically oversee the kingdom so that he could store food and prevent the kingdom from suffering in a famine. And at the end of that story, his brothers come to him and say, oh, will you please forgive us? Like, don't kill us because we did this to you. After he's like super powerful, he could just have them killed. And he said, it's so amazing. He says, you meant it for evil. He said, but God meant it for good so that many lives would be saved. Right? So even though his brothers did evil thing to him, God used it to bring about a great salvation for so many people, even them. Right? So we are making choices, but God is even using those bad choices. So it's more like this. This is just more what it's like. There's one path, one plan for your life. God doesn't tell you everything beforehand. Like we said, it's secret. You're not going to know everything. But he says, okay, make choices. Be wise about your choices. Keep making them. And then, you know, sometimes you'll make mistakes, but that's not throwing off the plan. And, you know, if you're anything like me, the plan will look like this. And kind of another mistake. And, you know, maybe you're getting a little bit better, but then you screw up again. And, you know, maybe you're a little bit better, but you're still making mistakes. Right, and that our life, God is using all those things for the good. And another thing that's so key here, it's kind of like our theme for the weekend, is, you know, when you start making those mistakes, you just get so discouraged. But that's why you have to remember the cross. You have to remember that even the failures you have, even the moral failings, the bad choices, the ones you make out of pride, or choices you just make out of fear, or the choices you make that you know are not really the right choice, but because other people that you know they expect you to make those choices, you choose those things anyway, and then you're like, oh, why did I do that again? Why did I say yes again, and now I'm so stressed out because I said yes to everybody in my life because I didn't want to disappoint everybody. Right? All those things Jesus paid for on the cross. Right? Remember, he was humiliated for us, right, so that we could be saved. And so, if you don't remember the gospel, all these other things are not going to be that helpful to you. But if you remember the gospel, you're like, oh, even my mistakes have been forgiven, and God is working them for the good. So you want to have faith in God's control and faith that he's saved you through the cross. But lastly, we want to have freedom, choose in freedom too. Choose in faith, but choose in freedom and proper boundaries. Freedom and proper boundaries. The better we grow in knowing God's word and what he says and growing in wisdom, it's going to give us more freedom. Here's a helpful chart. So kind of have see how this is set up here. So we have like God's negative commands, right? Remember he says all the things that God has told us that were revealed in the law. These are all the things that God says, okay, don't do this. So really, maybe I should say no freedom there. Less freedom is probably okay. But really, there's not much freedom in those commands. They have to be obeyed. There's no decision. You don't say, I guess maybe there's some freedom. Maybe if I do a little bit of adultery, you know, is okay. Like, or maybe just adultery sometimes. It's like, or I just steal sometimes. It's like, no, right? God says, do not do those things. So that's actually kind of comforting because we know, okay, those things are out of bounds. I can just say no to those things. Now, it starts to widen as you get to the next circle, right? You have God's positive commands. So say ones that say, you know, like love your neighbor as yourself. Like we're called to love people, right? But there's a little bit more freedom in there. It's like, well, you know, your neighbors, you might have a lot of choice in who your neighbors are, where you move or what church you go to. Or you might have, like, say, in your fellowships. You know, some of your fellowships might be big. Maybe you're 50 to 100 people. You're like, I know they're all my neighbors, but I can't love them all. I got to make some choices. Like, who am I going to invest in? Who am I going to spend time? Who are my friends going to be? So there's a little more freedom there to make choices, right? And those kind of give us the guide rails and give us freedom that we know what's right and what we should be, like, pursuing. But the last circle here is the freedom. And those are all the things that God has not specifically mentioned. Right? There's a lot of preferences and things in the Bible that God does not say one way or another a thing about. So, I mean, think about your careers. Well, you guys will probably have a bunch of different kinds of majors. You know, the Bible doesn't, it says principles about work, that we should be diligent and not lazy and work to earn our living. We shouldn't make work an idol, right? We shouldn't worship our careers. There's some passages about gifting. It's mostly talking about the church, but I think you could apply those gifting idea to work. Like, it wouldn't make sense to do things that you're completely not gifted for, you know, if God has built you a certain way. It makes sense to apply yourself in wisdom to some jobs and areas that you feel more gifted for and you're kind of more naturally good at. But other than that, it's like, choose, have fun, like, pick a career that you're passionate about, you know, something that you really want to pursue. I just kind of really had a desire. I wanted to do missions. I loved teaching the Bible. I loved doing these things. And I was like, you know, I don't know if, I didn't really feel like God, like, spoke to me or I heard him talk to me or anything. I said, okay, it seems like God has gifted me this. Like, I really want to do it. It's a good thing. I already know, okay, being a missionary is a good thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a missionary. It's actually a really good thing. So I'm like, I can choose it. Like, I can pick it. Right? So a lot of us stress out in that outer circle, and you don't have to. You have freedom to make those choices. Now, you should use wisdom in those areas of freedom. Doesn't mean that there's no principles to live by, but you have a choice. Choose. Like, pick whatever you think is going to help glorify God in your life, whatever careers you're excited about. Same thing's true about marriage. Like, you don't have to stress. Like, you don't have to marry a certain person. It's just you have freedom to choose, right, who you're going to marry. And so I think this helps free us to be like, okay, as long as I start to think about God, I understand the proper boundaries, I know wisdom, I can just rejoice in freedom that I can seek God's will. So think about this. We're going to just review. Seek God's revealed will, right? Don't try to divine the future, right? Go with what he's told us and use that method of wisdom that he has said, pursue this method. Seek out wisdom, right? Grow in wisdom. Grow in the Bible. Get good counselors, etc. Choose in faith and freedom, right? Don't fear making the choices, because God will even use your screw-ups for his greater glory and plan. And he'll use them to grow you in your life. And I know, just from this, I remember for me, my life, there was a girl I was really interested in after I had graduated, and I pursued her, and I'm like, I was trying to use wisdom. I wasn't, like, trying to push myself on her too much, but I was just trying to, like, get to know her slowly. I was like, okay, I want to be honorable. I want to let her know that I'm interested in her. I just want to play and just keep pretending like I'm interested, but not really tell her. And I remember, this was worth the whole thing. I told her, I said, yeah, I'm really interested in you, and I don't want to just play around with you. I just want to let you know, be honest, and I'd like to pursue. I'd like to be able to talk to you more. Would you be interested in that? I don't know if she'd just been frustrated with guys in the past or something, but she said to me, you know, that's a real man. Because I was just like, because I guess people had just been kind of like never just come out and just say, guys were not being just honest with her. But she thought about it, but then afterwards, though, she said no. And I was just like, oh, man. Like, and I was like, I was really hopeful, but she said no. And the thing is, though, God is so amazing. Like, even though it was a disappointment, and I had to learn a lot through that, I did not realize that my wife, who I love dearly, my wife Lynn, who I love dearly, who I am so happy that I married, we knew each other in the fellowship, but I was not interested in her at all. Never even thought about marrying her. That wasn't even the last thing on my mind. It wasn't until 3 years after that God just finally opened my eyes to see the truth, to see her and be like, wow, like, why have I never thought about her. She's like really pretty and she's godly and all these things. And like now I look back on it, right? At that time, I was so disappointed that that relationship didn't work out. But like now I'm like, I would never want to go back. I would never give it up. But see, you just, we don't know what God has for us, right? So I think we can say, even when we go through difficulties, right, God is at work. And he cares about you, and he wants to help you grow in making decisions for him. So that's what I have for our presentation. So let's talk about it for a little bit. We got about 13 minutes or so. We can chat. Love to hear questions. Now, I think there's some microphones. Yes, we have microphones. It's not amplified, but we're recording this, so make sure you get a microphone before you say anything so that people can hear. So I'm not just like responding to phantom questions. So I'd love to hear what your guys' thoughts or questions about any of the presentation or any specific issues that you might have. What questions do you have? Yeah, just talk. It's not amplified, so just talk. It's more for the recording.
How do you know what is revealed and what is kept secret? Where do you draw that line?
Well, I mean, I think, like I said in the talk, it's like what is revealed in the Bible, right? That's where God has said, okay, here is the principles and the truths and the things I want you to live by. Now, in a sense, God does reveal his plan, but that oftentimes, though, we don't know the plan until it's actually happening, right? So now I look back, that girl, like I said, I was interested in, I know it wasn't the plan, right? I know God's will wasn't that I marry that woman, but I couldn't know it ahead of time. I just had to step out and just take the shot, but it didn't work, right? But so you'll kind of see God's plan. You know, we start to look back in your life, you're like, wow, I can't believe God put me here and then here, then I met these people. Some of you maybe even became a Christian in ways you're like, man, God just put these different things in my life at that time that I just became a Christian. It's amazing all these things that God worked. So you can see, you can look back at it, but what I'm trying to warn against is right, not trying to dig into the future in a way that's not helpful, that God said, okay, just trust me, make wise decisions. So yeah, so I would say the Bible is that is the primary way that the Bible itself says we should look for his revealed will, that the part that's been made known to us. Up front here. Louise.
How should we respond to other Christians who might say, God told me to do X, Y, Z?
Right. Yeah, that can be hard. Especially when people say, yeah, God told me to do this, and you're in your mind, you're like, I don't think that's a good idea. Because that's particularly hard because it says, well, if God told this person to do that, right, shouldn't you listen if God is telling that person to do it? But that's why I guess, depending on the situation, I probably just feel free to disagree. Like, and they might be offended by that because they think God's telling me. But the thing is, the Bible hasn't said that God works that way normally. Mm-hmm. Now, there are stories in the Bible, right, where God speaks directly to people. There's plenty of examples of that. But the key difference is we want to, I think, and if the person's open to talk about it, is to say we want to seek out the methods that God has told us to seek out, not just ones we see in the Bible. Because right? God can speak to us anytime. He could come down here and talk audibly to us right now if he wanted to, but he doesn't normally do that. And so what we want to do is not focus on kind of the exceptional or supernatural ways and just look at the ways that he's told us to pursue. And so that's the way I would probably explain it. But like I said, don't be afraid if the person says, this is God told me to do this. If you think it's not right or wise, just say, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that, or I disagree, right? Like I said, ladies, if a guy says, God's telling me that I should marry you, just feel free to say no. I'm very flattered that you said this, but I'm going to say no for now. So who knows, maybe down the road, you might change your mind. But that can be used as like a club, and I don't think that's fair actually for people to say that. Because we don't see God doing those kind of things as a regular practice in the Bible. Good questions, though. Yeah.
So going back to the girl who said no, if she said
yes. Why do you have to bring that up again? That's so painful. My wife said yes. That sounds really exciting.
And however, if she said yes, we know now that that wasn't the Lord's will.
Right.
But if she said yes for would you define that as an X on that? Because it would still be in God's will for you. It would just be like an X, like a mistake that.
So if she had said yes and we had started the relationship.
Right.
Would that been a mistake?
Because you're saying it's the Lord's will that you married your wife.
Right.
And it's great that girl said no. However, I understand she didn't say yes, but I'm sure we've all been in situations where, you know, we've been in similar situations. So, like, if she had said yes for whatever reason, are you saying, obviously, that's after the talk, you're saying that's not outside of God's will. It's just one of those X's in that picture of God's will.
Well, if she had said yes and we got married, then that was God's will and we got married.
I'm thinking if she said yes and you dated and then you just didn't get married.
It could be. I mean, it's not necessarily a mistake per se. Like, I mean, because think about it. We can, in wisdom, because we're not God, we can't know the future perfectly. We can't know the future at all, really. But we also are not going to, I should say, we don't make mistakes. We don't make every decision perfectly, right? So it's possible, like, you could start a relationship. You could try to do it wisely, right? And just try to follow the principles, and it just may not be the person for you. So I wouldn't say that that's an X, like, in terms of, like, a bad decision that you were, like, but it just wasn't in God's plan, per se. I think when I'm putting the X's, I think in more, like, where you made a decision because... And you look back on it, you're like, it was really out of pride, or it was like more sinful that I made those choices. I'm thinking more of those kind of situations. Whereas that one, you know, I mean, I know people, I feel like pursued wisdom. They got involved in a relationship, but, you know, God just revealed as they're in the relationship. And see, this is when they had to use wisdom. They both start to see, yeah, we have different life goals, like, there's things that are coming up that maybe we have different theological beliefs. We realize, like, we would probably not be comfortable going to each other's churches long term. Like, just things that you're like, I think we should break it off. And that can be wise, right? That can be wise to say, okay, this really is not working out. But I would say that could still be done well, right? Even though it'll be sad that it didn't work out, that would just be part of God's plan, that he wanted to bring you through that, maybe to teach you things about yourself or relationships, you know. So I don't know. Yeah, it gets tricky. We start talking about God's will and our decisions and him being control. It's mysterious at some level. Mm-hmm. Hard to figure out. Who had a hand? Just keep going. We'll go around and we'll go to this corner over here after that.
Like in the situation with your wife, when you said like God opened your eyes to her.
Yeah.
Like in situations like that, how do you discern between like what God is doing in your life and like your own desires?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes those things can go together, right? So like I had a desire to get married. Like I really wanted to at that point. I actually sort of a little bit before that, I think I was being kind of lazy. I was sort of happy to be single. I wasn't being very responsible. And somebody told me like, I think it would help. And he didn't say it directly to me, but he's like, I think it's helpful that some guys, we just need to grow up and just mature and make, you know, stop being just, you know, the happy-go-lucky bachelor forever, you know, like get on with your life. And I was just realizing, I'm like, I think I'm doing that. Like I should really pursue. So God was using things in my life to kind of say, hey, I think I'm too content where I am right now. I probably should get married, and I certainly didn't think I had the gift of singleness, okay? So I really wanted to get married, so I'm like, why am I not really pursuing this? So I think God was working in my life, so making me more open and being like, oh, you know, and then just he brought us, you know, now I can see, looking back, he brought us together. We had a wedding together where, you know, she looked really nice. She looked beautiful. I was just like, whoa, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, you know, God opened that up. So I think oftentimes our desires and his will go together, right? Like I said, when you choose a job, if you choose a thing you're passionate about, you know, God can use what we're passionate about in his choices, right? Does that answer your question? Now, sometimes your desires can be sinful. So say you want to get in a relationship so bad that you say yes to somebody you know you shouldn't have, but you did it anyway because you just love the attention, and you just want it, you know. Then you can, I think, in wisdom, you can look back and say, you know what, that was a mistake, you know. That time my desires were wrong, you know. Sometimes it's not always so clear, but, you know. Yeah, this is a good question. These are really good questions, guys. Over here in this corner, there was a hinge over there. Don't want to forget you. Sometimes when a speaker, if people are on the sides, you miss them. So if anybody's got their hands up that I'm not seeing, just point them out. Go ahead.
I think that some of the questions have been focused at this point, but I'm just wondering if you have, you said that you are a philosophy major, and yeah. So I'm really interested in free will versus predestination, and so I'm just wondering, it's a really loaded question, but what are your thoughts on that? Have you dug deeper into that?
I mean, I have, and as I was like, I knew somebody was going to ask that, like with this talk, you know? It's really tough. Here, let's see if I have this this next slide here. I like this slide. I didn't put it in the presentation. You know, so that's, does anybody feel like that, you know? I mean, think about this. You got dice here, right? Like, you know, playing game and your thing. It says this in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord, right? That the lot basically equivalent to dice, you know, like you would cast it. It was a game of chance. Think about that proverb, right? He's saying even when you roll the dice, its decision is from the Lord. So we clearly see in the Bible that God is actually, he's totally in control of everything. He is absolute. There is nothing that happens that he doesn't know about, that he's not in control about. Right? And we actually should be really nervous if he wasn't in control of everything. Right, R.C. Sproul said, he goes, if there's one, he's a Christian teacher, he said, if there's one maverick molecule in the universe, right, one atom, right, that is not in God's control, like even those one little thing, that could have a chain reaction and change events like in the universe, right? And that should actually make us nervous. If God wasn't in control of everything, it'd be like, oh no, what might happen? Because I certainly don't want to be in control of everything. Do you want to be in control of everything? You know, you make mistakes, right? Look at our world, you know? Is anybody like perfectly governing the world and running the world? I mean, there's problems everywhere. See, so it's actually reassuring that God's in control of everything, but we know for certain that he is. But the Bible also says, right, that we are responsible for our choices, right? And like that other proverb says, like, that man plans his steps, but, you know, the man makes his plan, right, plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. You know, and we're actually held responsible for our choices too. So you have kind of like like God is like controlling and predetermining everything, but also we have choice, and we're held responsible for our choice. Now the real question is, you're probably trying to ask, is like, well, how can those both be true at the same time? You know, philosophers have debated this, Christian theologians have debated this for a long time. So I think as Christians, because we have the Bible, we know that there's a sense in which they're both true. Now, exactly how does God work that? People have come up with different philosophical explanations. I think it's not a great example at all, but like may help you a little bit. It's sort of like God creates everything and he knows everything that's going to happen. So it's sort of like if I know what you're going to do, if I give you a car and I say, okay, here's the keys, go use the car, I could kind of maybe I'll know you're going to drink and drive tonight. I can give you the keys, and you can go out and do it. Now, you could say, like, well, I shouldn't have gave you the keys if I knew you were going to do it. That's what I think a lot of people struggle with God. It's like, why would God allow people to do evil things? But the thing is, right, I'm not the direct cause of the drunk driving, right? I did not directly cause that evil, right? The person who made the choice to do it did it. But even if I know it's going to happen, I'm not the primary cause of that evil, right? I am responsible for it in a certain way, just like God is responsible for evil in the world in a certain way. But he's not the direct cause of that evil. We are. We make those choices. So it's almost like God creates the world, and he gives us the ability to make choices. He's totally in control over it, but he lets us make bad choices, and he knows we're going to make bad choices. And there's various reasons why God does that, which if I go on, it'll take too long to explain it all. But if you want to talk more, I can tell you more afterwards. Let me say, it's just complex. It's mysterious. It's hard to figure out. But there are some pretty, there's good answers, I think, explanations, but nobody is completely solved at all. So hopefully that helps a little bit. Maybe like one or two more, and then we'll have to wrap up. Where's down there in the bottom?
Yes. How do I discern God's voice? Sometimes I feel like I respond my own problem. Sometimes I feel like when I ask God something, and I respond back.
Say that last part again. You ask God.
Sometimes
I
ask God for something,
yeah,
and I feel like I respond to myself. Like I just respond to my own question.
Yeah. What's him talking and you talking? Kind of.
Yeah. Like for example, as you said, if you see a guy you like, and then you say, "God, is that guy good for me? What do you think?" And you said, "Yeah." God said, "Yes." It's like you just respond for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that is the danger. Like you say, if we don't use, say, like the Bible as like our principles, if we're sort of, we can get confused. Like, is it just me talking to myself, or am I just making this up, thinking God's telling me to do this or not? That's why it's good to, like I said, the Bible, at least we know, is from God. So we want to use those principles. Now, if you look at the principles there and you say, I don't think this guy's a Christian. Bible says, you know, somebody should be a Christian if you're going to marry him. They should be, you know, you should look for a wise man of God, right? Not a fool. You look at all those principles and you're like, hey, I like this guy. Maybe we'll give it a try. Like, I think you just have the freedom to do it. So what you don't have to do is like kill yourself, be like, I'm waiting for God to somehow tell me to go. Like, if you follow the principles that God sets out, then, you know, and think about it, we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And that spirit works with what we're learning about God and his word, right? So that will help us discern. You talk to friends, right? You go through all that wisdom and you're like, okay, you have the freedom, just you can choose. Like, I don't think you have to wait for, like, you know, it's like, what are you waiting for God to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've made those decisions and you think they're wise, then just take that step of faith and make the choice. I do think it can be confusing. What is us talking and, you know, what is God? That's why I wouldn't recommend that as like a method, you know, trying to understand God. Was there another hand up? One more? One more question, anybody? Right over here.
For the people that are like human computers and like want as much information as possible, I know it's probably a gray area, but is there like a line or a practical for the people that like want to amass so much information, but it seems like they're very indecisive, you know, right.
I read this one book about making choices. It's called The Paradox of Choice. It's like a sociology book. And he says, you know, it's like when you go to the store, he's like, there's two kinds of people you're shopping online. He's like, there's the maximizer and then the satisficer. That's what he like nicks. The maximizer is the one who, and I think I probably fall on this, I have to research every model of everything, check all the reviews, and then, you know, you can't just go by the stars, right? You got to start reading the reviews. Because sometimes people give it 5 stars, which for stupid reasons. Or sometimes people give it 1 star because they said the shipping was late. You're like, that's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to review the product, not whether it was shipped, you know. So I'm going to read all these things. I'm going to go in and get all this information. But then I waste so much time that I don't even know what to do. And then I have to just come back and redo all the research again because I forget it. You know, I don't make the choice. And right. And he said the satisficer is the one who says, okay, like they find one that looks pretty decent and they just go ahead and make the choice. And they don't stress out over. Now, sometimes those people should get more information. But I would just say at some point you just need to make the choice. And actually, waiting too long could be a sign of a lack of faith and trust in God, where you just need to make the decision. and trust that I'm in God's hands. And even if this doesn't work out, he's still going to use it for my good. So I would say at some point you just have to have, like, you know, for each person it's going to be different. But at some point you have to say, okay, I have enough information. I just need to make the choice. And I need to stop researching it or getting information. So, yeah. And it's risky, you know, making a choice. You're taking a step of faith, you know. But that's how we trust God, is we take that step of faith. Well, guys, this was great. Great discussion. Feel free, if you have any other questions, I'll hang around here for a little while. If you want to talk to me about anything, I'd love to answer more of your questions. But thanks so much for coming. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we just ask you for wisdom. I pray that for everyone here, Lord, that you would help them to seek you and that you would fill them with your wisdom as they know you more, as they grow in their relationship with you more, Lord, that you'd help them make decisions, be able to make them in faith, and just be able to walk with you, Lord. And I just thank you so much that even though the Jews at that time and Pilate and everyone else made the worst mistake ever by putting Jesus on the cross, in their mind, it was the worst mistake ever for them. Lord, you used that incredibly horrible mistake by them to be the greatest salvation for us, the greatest act of glory, Lord, and it wasn't a mistake for you. And Lord, so I just pray you'd help us all remember that and just take hold of that truth this weekend as we make decisions. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Teaching from Disciple Makers. To learn more about Disciple Makers, check out our website at www.dm.org. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/disciplemakers. Disciple Makers, reaching the campus, reaching the world.